Hey, hey! If you're hearing that music, you know that this is an edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. Originating from our flagship station, KEST 1450 AM in San Francisco, syndicated and simulcast around the world on www.ifidknownthen.com. We'll archive it on ifidknownthen.com as well, so that you can come back and listen some more if you want to. And we want to appreciate that this morning's program is sponsored by the First Church of Christian Science in Mill Valley, and they invite you to explore there as well as explorechristianscience.com. Our guest this morning, I had to learn how to pronounce her name. It's very fun. Originally from Brazil, when she was young, her piano teacher saw her distress about an illness that her father was having and offered her a copy of the Herald of Christian Science and invited her to Sunday school. She applied what she'd studied to her father and herself, and in a few months later, her father was healed. And that began her love of Christian Science and its healing method. Now, a little bit courageous, at 18, she moved on her own to Vienna, Austria, and studied translation at Vienna University and composition at Vienna Music College. Did some study additionally in the United States, and then returned to her home country, Brazil, where she attended the University of, and I'm betting I'm saying this wrong, Sao Paulo, to finish linguistic and literature studies in German and Spanish. So she's fluent in English, German, Portuguese, and Spanish. At the same time, she started teaching Portuguese, then started teaching German and Spanish, which led her to open her own language institute, which she owned and ran for 10 years. But she also helped organize local Christian Science youth summits, and after witnessing healings from students and colleagues who asked her to pray with them and for them, she felt that there was no higher profession than to dedicate her life to helping others through metaphysical and scientific prayer. So she sold the school and became full-time as a Christian Science practitioner, following later to become a Christian Science teacher. And the part I love most is that her music teacher started her with a copy of the Herald of Christian Science. Later, she moved to Boston, stepped into a volunteer program at the local jail, seeing healings there as well, but eventually became the managing editor of the Herald of Christian Science, sort of going full circle. So everybody, I'm very pleased to introduce you to Leji Lessa. Everybody, this is Leji. Leji, this is everybody.
Hi, everybody. Nice to be with you today, and thanks, Scout, for inviting me to be with you. It's a pleasure.
I do have, just off to the side in a little moment of fun, I do have a number of people that I know listen who are from Brazil, so if you'd say hi to them in Portuguese, they could feel at home, and then we'll go back to English so that I'll know what's going on.
Oh, of course. Oi, tudo bem, amigos? É prazer estar aqui hoje com vocês.
I love that. Maybe we need to, like, slip her in at the end of the program and record the opening of the show all in Portuguese. I think that'd be great. Or Brazilian.
Yes, why not?
Portuguese.
Wonderful.
Good morning,
Thank
Leji.
You.
Good morning. Now, pieces that I love is this. We have an audience here who are seekers, or if you just stumbled across this show this morning, you got to trust the synchronicity of your timing and just stick around for a while, because clearly there's good reasons for you to be here. But we have people who are expanding their awareness from many different directions, and we like to bring them different ideas and different information. Christian Science, of course, being one, as described by Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health with Keys to the Scripture. But I love a phrase I saw in one of the things I was reading that you'd written, which was, I will point out how the metaphysical understanding of God, of life, and of oneself can lead people out of problems of any sort, including depression, a sense of limitation, or even a lack of self-esteem. A metaphysical understanding of God, life, and self. As I like to point out a lot, healing doesn't have to be reserved for disease, but connecting into that metaphysical realization of ourselves can allow us to step out of exactly that, some of the places where we've had limitation. And I know you have one entire talk you do about the whole notion of depression, which has that popular notion that it's just a matter of blood balances and blood chemistry, and that better living through pharmaceuticals can be only solved that way. So I'd like to really start there. A metaphysical understanding of self, stepping out of a sense of depression or even limitation. I'm just going to hand that off that way.
Sure. Thank you so much, Scout. First of all, I think it's good for the listeners to know where I'm coming from when I say this metaphysical sense of self. First of all, we need to understand really the word metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
So meta comes from Greek, and it means beyond. So when I say about, you know, a metaphysical way of knowing yourself, it is a way that you will know yourself beyond any physical senses, beyond any idea that that you are material, that you are just compound of bones and brain and blood, etc. So it is very important also to know that this metaphysical point of view that I'm talking about, it is really biblical based. It's based on the teachings of Jesus. It's based on the teachings of the whole Bible, actually. A lot of people talk about metaphysics today, but they might not be talking about the way I see metaphysics, which is, as you mentioned before, based on what Mary Begrady has discovered and founded in Christian Science, and which is a scientific metaphysical method of healing. So starting from that point on, so that we are all clear what I mean by metaphysics and by a metaphysical way of seeing myself and seeing others, I can explain that depression is something that I suffered from childhood on. Yes, I was introduced to Christian Science when I was 12, as you mentioned, but I had some trouble even before. When I was 10 years old, my mother passed on. She was actually ill for 2 years, between I was 8 and 10, and she would spend 3 times at the hospital, 3 months at the hospital, 2 months at home, then 3 months at home, 1 month at the hospital, and back and forth for about 2 years. And then when she passed on, you know how it goes when someone passes on and the family relatives come over and they try to be nice and talk to you and etc. So I was a very quiet child. I am the youngest in my family. I have 3 siblings and they are much older than me. So I was always, on the side I was a very quiet child. And some relatives mentioned that my mother had passed on or had actually started being ill after I was born. And I heard this a few times, Scott, and you can't imagine. I can't tell you about all 10-year-old kids, but the way I was, very introspective and very quiet, I really felt that it was my fault that my mom had passed on and had been ill because I was born.
Right.
So that created in me an awful sense of guilt. And I can tell you that the first time I remembered thinking of committing suicide, I was only 11. And when I went to the Christian Science Sunday School, because my father then at that time was ill and he was diagnosed with a mental illness, and the doctor said that it would be really incurable, and he just had to stay at the hospital because we couldn't handle him at home. You can imagine. I was then, 12 years old. My siblings were older, studying outside, and they were studying, working, and I was alone with my father at home, with one person who helped us, to clean the house and to be with us during the day. And it was not easy. It was really not easy. I saw very dramatic scenes. That's why when I went to the Christian Science Sunday School and I told them what I was feeling, what was going on in my home and how stressful that was, they hand me those 2 books, the Bible and Science and Health with Teaching the Scriptures by Mary Begrady. But they also hand me a little booklet called The Weekly Bible Lessons. And I always loved to read, you know. I was a very curious child, and the teacher at Sunday school told me, oh, you can study this every day. And at that time, I was very obedient as well. So he told me how to mark my books and how to study this Bible lesson every day. And I was doing that. And when I was studying science and health, and really, Mary Baker Eddy mentions the word man a lot of times in the book, and she brings this, she uses this term for man and woman, for all of us, for children. It is a generic term, but she also brings, again, that metaphysical point of view, that we need to see beyond the physical. So I started applying all those definitions that I saw about man to myself and to my father. So I started seeing myself differently. So my father was healed, as you mentioned before. It was wonderful. 3 months later, he left the hospital, and he lived more than 20 years, and people wouldn't notice before, I don't know, afterwards, that he had ever a mental problem. My depression wasn't healed so quickly. I had horrible crises throughout my younghood. And nowadays, when I reflect on and when I look back and see all those crises and why I did not commit suicide, when many times I really wanted to and I planned how to do it, mm-hmm. I always heard something. And nowadays, I know what it was. The Bible talks about the still, small voice. So when you talk about a still, small voice, it's hard to think of, right? Because a voice is audible. You hear a voice. But how can a voice be still? Today, I really know that the voice of God is really still, which means it brings you peace. And that voice of God, Scout, talks to you, to me, and to all our listeners all the time. But the secret for us to listen to that voice is to really calm down, to connect with God. And I would like to describe God as universal, infinite love. When we somehow learn how to connect with this universal, infinite God, and we feel that presence of that universal, infinite love, we calm down, we still all the noises around us, and in my case, during my crisis, was, you know, all that, those thoughts, you need to kill yourself. You're not good. You were not good enough. People don't love you. But when I connected, when I heard that still small voice, all that noise around me really disappeared. And then I was able to move on. So even though it took some years for me to be healed, looking back, I can see clearly that every time that I did not, that I wanted to commit suicide and did not, was because I heard that still small voice in different ways. And you know, Scout, that voice comes to us in different ways. It might be a kind of a voice, really, when we hear something and when we hear an idea. It can be that you are reading something and then out of a sudden, you have a new thought. Mm-hmm. It can be that you are talking to somebody and somebody says something to you and it something lights up in your head. So you have a new thought, you have a new view, you have a new hope. So nowadays, really, the worldwide health organization says that more than 125 million people are suffering from depression in a way or another. Suicidal depression is just one kind of depression, but there are this low self-esteem. Some people are diagnosed, but many people, like me, I was not diagnosed. Right. And I was always ashamed to say to others the problem that I had. So that's why nowadays I have a lot of compassion to people who sometimes just think that they are feeling sad very often. And we are not here to be sad. We are not here to be distressed or to have low self-esteem. That infinite universal love, the only creator, loves each and every one of us and has always a way out, has always a solution for us, regardless of the problem. Sometimes it might be a tiny problem that we think, oh, who cares for this problem? God doesn't have time for this problem. Or sometimes it might be the opposite. Oh, I'm now facing so many things. I have such a big death, or I have a family member who is really distressful and doesn't love me, or I can't find a job. There is no way out for me. I'm too old or I'm too young. You know, all those problems that people face every day. But Scout, divine love has a solution to each and every problem. And that's why I can say to all your listeners today, the same way that I was healed, and today people who know me can't imagine that I was, you know, depressed some years back, that same healing can happen to each and every one. We are not here to suffer. We're here to glorify God, which means we're here to express health, to express joy. We're here to fulfill a purpose that this divine love has to each and every one of us. But each one is different, so each one has a different purpose. And when we connect to that divine love, we find our purpose, and then life goes on, and life goes on in a good way. So there is always an answer to each and every one of us.
Beautiful. One piece you came up with there that I'd like to jump back into, Leji, is God as a universal, infinite love. I know there are a lot of people that along the way, through various organizations and various other people, have a lot of scars around that word God, or even a lot of presuppositions, a lot of notions that get stuck and impressed and imprinted as if God is some all-powerful, judgmental being with sort of a bad attitude, and kind of sometimes it sort of reminds me of I don't mean to offend anybody. Sometimes it reminds me of fifth grade, because some people seem to present this God as someone that if you ever make him mad, then he'll never, ever be your friend again. And they give a lot of that description. So that's very different than thinking of this essence of God as universal infinite love rather than some old dude with a long white beard sitting in a big chair.
Sure. But what happens, Scout, is that if you read the Bible, you are going to find, and there are a lot of people who are really Bible scholars or good readers of the Bible. There are ways and ways to read the Bible and interpret the Bible. So a lot of people in the world, a lot of Christians in the world, have that description of God, because instead of reading the Bible in the way that I was mentioning before, in this metaphysical way beyond the physics, they read the Bible literally, and then they see the Bible has a lot of historical accounts and a lot of battles. So nowadays, somebody can tell us, how come you are thinking that God is love if there are so many problems in Nigeria, if there is if there are civil wars in many places in Africa, if a lot of things that are going on in Russia and other countries in Asia. Where is in Middle East? The Middle East can't find peace. Where is God in all of this? So that's why people really have this misconception about God, because they look with physical eyes and they just see problems. And they think, and there was also this vision for the first writers of the Bible, that God was a God that punished. A lot of people interpret it during biblical times, and still today, a lot of people do, that whenever a natural disaster happens, for example, and I don't like this word natural disaster, because a disaster for me is never natural, but a disaster of nature, per se, you know, when something bad happens, they think, oh, maybe it's a punishment from God. Maybe we need to learn something. Instead of thinking, okay, how can I change my view about God so that, first of all, those disasters of nature won't occur anymore? How can I change my view of God and see this loving God so that peace can be found? When we read the Old Testament, Scout, Isaiah was the first prophet to see God as light. Up to that point, during, you know, more than 1,500 years, people were seeing God as a kind of a human being, a kind of a human mad being who was sometimes mad at us and would punish us. But I'm sure a lot of listeners are either parents, or if not parents, they might have been that have had good parents. A good parent doesn't want to punish their child. A good parent is loving. So if we continue our reading through the Bible through that metaphysical lens, we will see many examples of God as a loving father, mother, as complete love. John says in chapter 4, God is love. That love is not human. That love can't be even compared with a human love, because it's much, much more. It's a love that it's unconditional. It's a love that never judges, never punishes, never sends anything bad to any of us. So that's why if we do have listeners today who are listening to us, and if they are going through any distress in their personal lives or in their family relationships, or with an abusive relationship with their spouses, the knowledge, the sense of a divine love, that it's unconditional, that loves you unconditionally, that sees you and gives you only good qualities, can take you out of that situation. And you can feel loved. So I grew out of this low self-esteem. I grew out of that sense of guilt to that stage of irrational thinking. And that is also what I would like to make aware to our listeners. Those thoughts are really irrational, Scout. The thoughts that come to you saying you are not worthy, you are not good enough, or you are guilty, those are irrational. For example, thought that came to me so often, that I was guilty of the death of my mother. was completely irrational. But for me, at that time, and during many years, sound rational.
Right. It was your reality. Yep.
It was my reality, exactly. So only when we cease to believe and see with the human eyes and allow ourselves to go beyond the physical senses and we place ourselves in that universe of love, that infinite universe of love where there is only love, only compassion, only trust, only joy, we can feel loved and we are able, we then feel empowered to love others. And remember when I was telling you about that still small voice?
Right.
Every time, Scout, when I go back to my crisis and I see and I remember that still small voice that saved me from committing suicide, I get to a place that it was love that saved me, not love for myself. For example, I remember once I was, I think it was my worst crisis ever. I was, as you mentioned before, I had a language institute. So, and besides that, I was part of the German Association of Teachers in São Paulo. And because of that, I was helping to organize conferences for teachers. You know, it was just to improve their teaching methods, etc. Mm-hmm. So because I had to work during the day, my colleagues went before. That conference was going to start on Friday night, and it was going to be Friday night, Saturday the whole day, and Sunday the whole day. So as I was driving to that place, to that hotel, and it was in the mountain, it was a beautiful hotel in the mountains, and, you know, when you were driving on a mountain, how is the highway? The highway can't be straight, right?
Exactly, exactly. It's got to follow the side of the mountain.
Right, yes. So it followed the side of the mountain, so there are a lot of curves. And because you were going up, you see a cliff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is on one side you have the mountain, on the other side you have just the air.
Almost so, an exact quote from Arlo Guthrie.
Right, yeah. So I was driving, and while I was driving, I had that horrible crisis, and it was coming to me, you are not worthy, you are not good enough, you are bad, you need to die. And then I was just driving faster and faster, and the thought was coming to me as I was making the curves, don't make the curve, just keep driving straight, and then you are going to take out your life in an instant.
Yeah, you'll
it's
be out
be
from
so
under
easy,
all
right?
of this pressure. You'll have released all of this pressure. You'll be out from under all of it. That's what that little tricky voice says.
Yes, that was a tricky voice, exactly. But then, out of a sudden, it came to me, oh my gosh, this is not my car. I'm driving my sister's car. And if I do that, what am I going to cause to her? Because then she was going to think that it was her fault that I had that accident. She would never know that it was my own intention. She might think it was just an accident. I don't want her to feel guilty about my death. No, I can't do that to myself. I can't do it right now. You know. And then I calmed myself. I started thinking, yes, God is love. God is right here with me. No, I don't need to feel that. I know that God loves me. You know, at first, Scout, it was just words. Words that I knew from the Bible and from Science and Health. But then those words were able to calm me down.
Yes.
I had 30 more minutes until I got to that hotel. But then when I got there, my crisis was over. And I was well. I was able to spend the whole weekend. And nothing else happened. So I was... You know, I had a great weekend, and I helped all those teachers there.
Perfect.
But that was the still small voice of love. It was in a way that I was able to understand. So that's why today when I talk to people, based on my own experience, I know that this divine love, that still small voice, is talking to us constantly, 24/7, and we are able to listen to it, and we are able to listen, and because it talks to us in a way that we can understand, and it can save us if we just listen to it, and we can do it. And that was not scout the end of my depression, but when I really, and I can tell you that something that was really great to me, and again, another way that helped me to understand what love is, I took a course on spiritual healing, and I was young, but I was still going on through, I was in my early 20s, and I was still going on with this low self-esteem, you know, back and forth, crisis here, crisis there. But when I went to that course, I was talking to the teacher one day, and I told her all my distress and all my problems. You know, I was feeling really sad about myself. Poor me. I was feeling like a victim again. And then she asked me, Lady, do you know the two great commandments that Christ Jesus gave? And I looked at her and I said, of course I know. You know, I had been studying the Bible for years by then, right? Mm-hmm. And I did. I said, oh, yes, of course I know. The first one is, you know, like I just have to love God supremely, love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my love, you know, with all my mind. Yes, I do that. I know that. And she said, yes, and what is the second commandment? After I heard that, Scout, it was like taking a cold shower in a cold day. I don't like cold showers, you know. When I thought that the second commandment was, love your neighbor as yourself, I said to myself, oh my gosh, all those years, I thought I was loving people because I was always very helpful, you know, friendly. I always loved to help people. But I said, if I don't love myself, I don't really love others. I can't love others. I need to love myself first. As the image and likeness of love of God, I need to feel that metaphysical, that universal, infinite love so that I can love others unconditionally. And at that moment was the key point to my healing. And you know, as I told you before, people nowadays don't know and don't think that I was ever depressed. I was completely healed, and I feel completely healed today because I am always connecting myself to that divine source of love, that infinite source of love. You know, it's like a cell phone, you know. I think everybody nowadays has a cell phone, and people use it all the time. But is a cell phone worthy? Is it helpful if it doesn't have any battery?
I have a friend that tests that regularly.
So it's not helpful at all, right?
Exactly.
So, what do we need to do then?
Come back and recharge, reconnect.
Exactly. When we try to recharge and reconnect, do we have any doubt, if there is power, of course, do we have any doubt that that cell phone will be reconnected, will be recharged?
It's certainly the expectation is if I reconnect this into that power source, it will come back to life.
Exactly. That is the same thing with us. Whenever we feel down, whenever we feel distressed, whenever we feel that maybe there is no way out of this condition, we just need to recharge ourselves. We need to reconnect with that source of infinite love. And we can do this over and over again. And when we do it, when we really silence that noise around us and just reconnect ourselves with that infinite love, we feel empowered, we feel loved, and then we are able to love others. We're able to find solutions, because nothing just comes as magic in our lives. You know, a lot of people nowadays, since and for about 20 years, I've been just dedicating my life to help others through prayer. And when somebody comes to me sometimes and they have never heard of Christian Science, they think that Christian Science is kind of a magic. And Christian Science is not magic. Paul says it clearly. I think that's a wonderful example that I like to think to explain how Christian Science works, because Paul in the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. So Christian Science enables me and enables anyone to renew our mind, to change our perspective, to see ourselves, see others, see the world, to see the world through a metaphysical lens. And when we do that, ideas come, inspirations come, and then we get ideas on how to move forward, and as we move forward, we get a solution. And as we get a solution, we're happy. Perfect. The problem is solved.
Perfect, perfect. Let me cut in for just a second, because we have to go ahead and ID the station and remind people who we're speaking to, but there's a lot more questions that I want to ask as we come back. So first of all, let me remind you that this is originating from KEST 1450 AM in San Francisco, syndicated and simulcast on www.ifidknownthen.com.
San Francisco!
You are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. This morning's show, we want to appreciate the First Church of Christ Science of Mill Valley. They have services on Sunday and Wednesday evenings, but they invite you to check out all of the information that's available to you on www.christianscience.com. This is Spiritual Perspectives. I'm your host, Scout Bartlett, and this morning I have the privilege of talking with Leji Lessa. You can find Leji also, but the easiest way to find her, you look for her last name, L-E-S-S-A, and then if you're an English speaker, you can just be totally delighted and surprised by how her first name is spelled. But the last name, L-E-S-S-A. This is Leji Lessa. Leji, you stepped into a role of counseling in the local jail. Now, first of all, it's jail, and second of all, you're female. This has to be more than a little bit brave to walk into jail, particularly walk in multiple languages in a jail in the Boston area, as I understand, and sure. Go in and work with that kind of that mentality and that kind of a structure, because jail looks like kind of a scary place to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, and I went to that when I just moved to Boston. So I was in Brazil first. You know, I lived in I had been to the United States several times, but I moved from Brazil, and in Brazil, jails are not good. So yeah. I had an idea that jail wouldn't be a good a good place to be. But when I thought about it, and I really thought, okay, that can be a place where I can just bring healing to people, yes. That I can bring them a new perspective of life and a new opportunity for them to regenerate, to reform, to think of themselves in a different way and not go out and keep doing what they were doing before. So that was what motivated me to really go in. And I was very surprised because the jail here in Boston is so beautiful. It's very clean, very organized, nice. Very nice. But I have to tell you, Scout, that the first days that I went, and I used to go on a Saturday. So I would go on a Saturday maybe around 9 a.m., and I would stay there until 2, 3, sometimes until 5. And then the first 2 or 3 days, I got home exhausted, really exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then one of the days I got home and I said, oh, I was so tired that I thought, oh, let me just lay down here for a few minutes and then I will do my things. But, you know, I lay down for a few minutes. I thought it was a few minutes. I woke up only the next day. When that happened, I told myself, oh, there is something else here that I need to do. I think maybe I'm not preparing myself really to be there because this is not right. I mean, I shouldn't feel tired after helping people.
Yeah,
and
nice
I was
catch.
Not doing any physical thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized that it was the mental atmosphere that I needed to prepare myself mentally, not only to bring a lot of good to them, but also to defend my own mental atmosphere, so that I would not come really exhausted the way I was.
Right,
because
so
the mental atmosphere of a place like that, when there is 700 people who have committed crimes, different kinds of crimes, their thoughts are not always good, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
They're still thinking of bad things and things like that. So
yeah, and you don't want to be matching to their thought process.
Pardon me?
And you don't want to be matching to their thought process. You want to be in your own perspective, your own flow of your thoughts.
Exactly, because when I am like that, I am able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
If I just mingle with that mental atmosphere of thought that it's not so good, that has bad thoughts in it, I'm not able to help. So I started preparing myself better mentally and praying more for myself, recognizing that I could never be disconnected of that divine love that we talked before, that universal infinite love, that during the time that I was there, I was constantly connected to that divine love and was constantly reinvigorated, empowered, and that my place there was just to bring them that metaphysical understanding of the Bible, because a lot of them, I spoke mainly with Hispanics who had a concept of God, and some of them had that concept that you described before, a God that punishes.
Yep.
And many of them saw the fact that they were there as God punishing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to explain to them that it was not God that was punishing them. They were being punished because of their actions, that they allowed a punishment in a way that if you live a good life, and for them, some of them had no sense of good life and some good life, and some of them had a good sense of a good life. Some of them were regretted that they became drug dealers or that they sold drugs to young people. When some of them went, or in two cases, I spoke to people men who had violated sexually children. So it was important to me to see them as a perfect child of God, and to help them to see their spiritual innocence. And only when we do that, Scout, we get to a reformation point. And if we have a few minutes, I will try to tell you a short story, brief story that meant so much to me. That father had violated one of his children sexually, you know, abused the children sexually several times, and that child was then 16 years old and had put him in the jail. And that father talked to me, and first of all, they never tell friends what happens because, you know, friends can be very aggressive to them.
Absolutely.
When they know that what they did with children. But I, when he told me that story and he wanted to change, he said that he regretted and that he really wanted to change. I needed to pray a lot to see his spiritual innocence, to be able to see him as God created him. And I talked to him several Saturdays. He was a man, he was illiterate, so he couldn't read the Bible, he couldn't read, he couldn't study, but he could, I would always share thoughts with him, and then during the week he would think about those good thoughts. And he asked me if I could pray for him to help him to reform and to bring also peace to her to his child. So, as I mentioned, he was illiterate. So we did this several weeks. We prayed together for several weeks. And one day he came to talk to me, and he brought a letter. And he said, you know, I can't ask anybody to read this letter for me, you know, but you know I can't read. Can you please read it for me?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, when I was reading, it was a letter from his child saying that she, it came to her to forgive him, that she was going to take down the director, the, you know, everything that she did before, that she was going to ask the court or the process to release him, because he was her father, and she understood that what he did for her was because of alcohol and not because of him, and that she wanted him as her father. And she didn't know if she could be with him a lot, but she had started a new life, and she just wanted to forgive him.
Wow.
So you can imagine how I felt and how he felt. We both just started crying, you know, because our prayers had been effective. And he promised me, so I didn't see him when he left the jail, but he said that he really was going to look for help, and he wanted to be a new man, and he felt that he was a new man, and that forgiveness of his child was making him a new man. So that is what divine love does. Divine love, no matter how bad we have done, divine love forgives and reforms. So we have, whatever we have done in the past, if we reconnect it with this divine love somehow will reform us. Somehow divine love will give us peace, and we will stop thinking about the past, and we'll be thinking and concentrated of today, finding the new man or the new woman. We will find our new ourselves. We will find a new I, pure, perfect, strong, and we are able to rebuild our life.
Yeah, we are truly looking into spiritual solutions to life challenges, which is one of the pieces I like to remind people a lot, is that healing is not just reserved for disease, but is really about interrupting what you referred to as that lovely irrational thinking, letting that still, small voice within interrupt that irrational flow and pop us back into the moment, even as you were describing that momentary thought of driving yourself off the side of the mountain. And all it took to break the thought was, wait, not my car. I don't want to mess up my sister's car. I don't want to hurt her feelings. This is about me. And that's enough to pop us out. I know I've had my own experience during a grief period that I definitely was done with life, but had an event I had to attend that was an energy-filled event. And then when I walked back out the door again, all of a sudden I noticed the trees were beautiful and the lights were beautiful, and I could hear the birds singing a little bit even though it was late. And I could feel and re-experience. Sometimes it's just letting ourselves reconnect to that infinite essence of love, whether we want to call it God or source or the universe or whatever. So in the jails, did you see other healings that flowed there? Did you see people manage to recognize themselves more deeply? And you mentioned shifting your own practice to be able to be you in your practices, in your thoughts, even in the midst of horrific circumstances. In fact, I'm going to flip to that. You mentioned shifting so that you could be you in your practices and your thoughts, even in the midst of a lot of people that were having much darker, denser, and heavier thoughts. And I know there are people out there in the workplace where they're surrounded by grumpy people who are not nearly as grumpy as people who are in jail.
Right.
How would you speak about being what you did to shift yourself so that you could be you regardless of what was going on in the people around you without blocking them out or thinking they were bad or wrong? That's mm-hmm. that's the question I want to go to.
Sure. First, I like to answer that question giving three steps, what I see as very important. It was very important for me in my practice, and I think it's very important for anyone who is looking for healing.
Thank you.
The first step is that you need to accept a spiritual truth. You need to accept that you are able and capable of doing what you need to do, that you are empowered by infinite mind, that you have all intelligence, that you reflect all intelligence that you need in order to, you know, solve that problem, or for me, that case, in order to be there to help. So first point is acceptance. The second point is trust. It is important that you trust completely, that you trust what you are saying, what you are expecting. And when you trust, Scout, you shouldn't have any doubt. So in trust, there is no doubt. And when there is no doubt, there is also no fear. You trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you are floating. If you are in the ocean, or if you are in a swimming pool, and if you want to float, if you are afraid, what happens?
You clench up and you don't float.
Exactly. So that's why if you want to have your healing, you can't be afraid. So you need to trust completely. And that's the second step, right? Trust without doubt and without fear. And the third step is the spiritual understanding. The spiritual understanding that comes with your study. In my case, I study deeply and often the Bible and Science and Health and other writings by Mary Baker Eddy. But it's not only to study the letter. I love to read, as I told you, but I read and then I ponder. I read and I reflect on. I need to imbibe myself in the spirit of that letter. And when we do that, we are able to see transformation. I saw, yes, lots of healings. We could talk here, you know, the whole morning about the healings that I saw at the jail.
Fabulous.
But another one that was physical and the person really didn't even notice, and we both didn't pray about it. We were talking for a few weeks. You know, I had a list of people, and I would always go there and talk to people, and that list would vary because sometimes I would see 30 people in a day, sometimes 10 people, and because it's a jail, people come and go. But this gentleman, I was seeing him for a few weeks, and then one day he came in and he said, "Oh, you know, I was always afraid of eating fish because once a long time ago, I ate fish and I felt so badly. I was stomach sick and I had a lot of problems. So I told myself I would never eat fish again, and I was always afraid of eating fish. But this week, they served fish here, and I just told myself, oh, no, if God is good, and this is the food that they are serving me, I don't need to be afraid of eating it. And he said that he ate it, and nothing happened. So he was, free of the fear of eating fish, and he was free of the side effects. So nothing happened.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Perfect. So healing happens like that, as I mentioned before, by the transformation of your mind, by the renewal of your mind.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention real quickly, Leji, so that people will know about it. You're actually going to be out here in the California area the end of June, June 20th. You'll be part of a Tahoe Spiritual Summit, June 20th at the Tahoe Beach Resort. They're actually doing that as a gift to the community. So the admission is free, but they do suggest reservations. But they're also going to do live streaming of the event. That's why I wanted to be sure and let people know, one, great time to go to Tahoe. What a lovely thing to go to Tahoe and do. But additionally, you can get the live streaming. I'd suggest that you email them, and the email for it is firstchurchslt, like South Lake Tahoe, get it? firstchurchslt@live.com, firstchurchslt@live.com, and you can actually mark your calendar if you want to take a look at that, to, you know, look at whether or not you could be in Tahoe on June 20th. Leji, this has been an absolute delight to talk to you. You've taken us in wonderful places and reinforced things so very sweetly that this hour has just gone by way too quickly, because I agree, we could probably talk all morning, but I just want to say thank you so much. This has been a delight.
Oh, I thank you, too. It has been great to be with you and your listeners. And I just would like to share maybe the last thought. Mary Begrady says in the first verse, the first sentence of Science and Health on the preface, to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. So expect your day to be big with blessings. Live today. And the Bible talks about the showers of blessings. So there are a lot of blessings out there expecting you.
Thank you so very much. And this is Scout Bartlett, your host with Spiritual Perspectives. And I want to remind you that no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose. Treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly are.